Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You might be familiar with the word phobia. Phobia is a word that means fear. It comes from a Greek word, which actually is mentioned a couple times in our epistle lesson from 1 Peter. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions that human beings feel. I spent some time online looking up different phobia lists, and there are some really interesting phobias or fears out there. While lots of people have arachnophobia, the fear of spiders, there's other more interesting fears like metrophobia, which is the fear of poetry, or Dutch phobia, which is, yes, an irrational and debilitating fear of the Dutch. After all, that is what a phobia is. It's not just a fear, but an irrational and debilitating fear. When seeing a spider, if you shriek a little bit and yell for someone else to come kill it, that might not be a phobia. But if when you see a little itsy-bitsy spider, you jump on the table and you won't stop screaming or get off that table until someone comes and neutralizes that spider, well, then you might have arachnophobia. Well, the Apostle Peter addresses a debilitating and irrational fear in the first five verses of our epistle reading. There are lots of phobias out there. The list is pretty long. But I had a hard time finding one that Peter describes here. Maybe that's because this one is so irrational and surprising, or at least it's the sort of thing few of us would admit to. Social phobia, which was sort of close, that's the fear of being evaluated negatively by others. Or maybe Zeusophobia, which is the fear of God or the fear of gods. Or perhaps euphobia, the fear of hearing good news. But none of those quite addresses the fear Peter discusses. You see, he is addressing the fear of doing good, the fear of following Christ. Peter asks them, "What harm is there if you are zealous for doing good?" In other words, Peter says, "Why are you afraid to do what is right?" I could ask you perhaps the same thing. Why are you afraid to do the right thing? Because face it, sometimes we don't do what we should, and the reason is not because we don't know, but because we're afraid. Are you not quite convinced? Well, then think about, why didn't you stand up for that person who everybody else was ganging up on and making fun of? You were scared, weren't you? Why didn't you take that golden opportunity to share your faith in an appropriate time? You were probably scared, weren't you? Why didn't you go over and help that person who you knew was hurting and could use some help? You were probably scared. I know, because I've been there myself. Well, our epistle lesson starts off with Peter addressing the fear of doing good to those whom he is writing to, the Christians in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Now, Christianity was still pretty new, and sometimes, partially because of that, Christians endured persecution in the Roman Empire. At times, we know that Christians were even killed. But much more often, they had trouble at work or with their friends because of their beliefs, or maybe they or their families suffered in some way because of their faith. And so many of these Christians who Peter is addressing were tentative about their faith, and they were scared to be persecuted or to suffer. Peter doesn't want their faith to be paralyzed by their fear. He wants them to be unashamed Christians. Now, Peter was an expert on the issue of subject of shame and fear regarding faith. After all, Peter had been on both sides of this equation. Peter was scared to do what was right on Good Friday, after all. when Jesus was arrested, at first Peter was going to fight back, but when Jesus told him not to fight with his hands or with his sword, Peter became deathly afraid. He fled for his life. Later, he slunk back to the court of the high priest, but once again, his fear got the better of him. He denied Jesus three times, swearing that he didn't even know this Jesus fellow. And yet, by Acts chapter 5 and even earlier, something has changed for Peter. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles are brought before the high priests and the Jewish council, who tell them to stop preaching in Jesus' name or else. But Peter replies, "We must fear God rather than man." Peter would later be crucified upside down because he refused to be afraid of what man could do to him, because he knew what his Savior had already done for him. Peter was no longer scared to do what was right and to follow Christ for at least two reasons. First was the resurrection of Jesus. Peter knew now that death was not the end, either of God's plan and his providence or of an individual who placed their trust in God the Father Almighty. So for us, we might say, what's the worst that someone's going to do to us? The worst that they can possibly do is kill us. But even if they were, and sure, that would be more than a minor disappointment, but it wouldn't be the end. You wouldn't really be dead, not for forever. Because of Jesus' resurrection, death no longer is an end. It's not the end of God's plan and providence, and it's not even the end of our own life. If we can believe that and wrap our heads around it, that will transform our life as well as our death, and even how we think about life and death. The second change was that Peter now was led by the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead. Suddenly, it's no longer just the strength of Peter, which waxed and waned. Instead, God's plan in Peter's life was carried out and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You realize we have those same two exact advantages that made Peter so bold and such an unstoppable force for the gospel. Jesus died and rose for Peter and defeated death, and he made the same promise to us in our baptism, which now saves us, as Peter says, through the resurrection of Jesus. We have that same gift of life, knowing that death is not the end. Now all we have to do is trust that that is true and live our lives accordingly. And you and I, we have the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Almighty, which was given to us in baptism as well and continues to guide us. We have that Holy Spirit. Now we just have to listen to him. So considering all this, Peter says, why not do good? Why stay afraid? And he gives us three arguments why we should not be afraid anymore. First of all, most people will probably be grateful if you do good. If you're feeding the poor or helping the hurting, who's going to try and stop you? Who's going to hurt you if you tell other people that God has died for their sins and offers them forgiveness? All they have to do is repent. It's a free gift of life and eternal salvation that probably won't offend most people. It's free. It's good. If you do what Peter says, giving a reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect, as he says, most reasonable and halfway decent people aren't going to have a problem with you. In fact, they might appreciate you, even if they disagree with you. But then again, as Peter goes on, sometimes people don't want to hear the good news for one reason or another. Sometimes people don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to repent. They may not like it that you want to help somebody that they don't like. Peter knew firsthand that Christians sometimes were persecuted. He himself was beaten, whipped, yelled at, and eventually martyred for preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So Peter moves on to the next argument. If you suffer as a Christian for doing good, God will use that suffering to his glory and to spread the gospel. Now, God may not stop you from suffering for the sake of the gospel. In fact, it would be entirely in line with everything Jesus did and with what happens in the New Testament if we did suffer sometimes for being a Christian. But God will use that to his advantage. He promises also that he's going to take care of us. Even if the world beats us up, the Lord will be there and he will watch over us and take care of us. So Peter says, don't be scared. Don't be afraid to do good. Don't be afraid or ashamed of the gospel. Why should we sit on the fence and allow evil to have its way, to do whatever it wants without any opposition? Why should we be afraid of what some jerk thinks about us? Why should we be afraid of what a bully might try and do to us? After all, if we're on God's side, if we're standing up for God and with God, we might lose a battle, but I can guarantee you, we know who's going to win the war, who's ever on God's side. When Peter and the apostles were imprisoned, beat up, threatened, and all of a sudden everyone knew that they were saying something important, because you wouldn't imprison or threaten someone who didn't pose some sort of threat. After their arrest and suffering, Peter was no longer just some religious guy or a philosopher. He was now a man of action, a man with street cred who was willing to put his life on the line because of what he believed. People are more apt to listen to someone who doesn't just walk the walk, but talks the talk. And I think that's true for us too. And when we love other people, even when that love sometimes means tough love or love that begs to differ with the world around us, people will notice if that is motivated by love. Maybe not everyone will notice or care, but some people will see that there is love behind it all, and those people are worth the suffering and the heartache. Jesus' own persecuted life is an example of that. He suffered the worst sort of persecution and violence because he uncompromisingly held firm to the Father's plan of salvation. He suffered terrible heartache for this fallen world, but he considered all that heartache and suffering and persecution to be a small price to pay for your life and for the life of your neighbor. Peter gives one more argument, a less conventional argument, when he tries to tell people not to be afraid. He implies that we're afraid to do what's right. But for some reason, we're not afraid to do the wrong thing, right? Admit it. You won't let the consequences, you may know the consequences if you do something wrong. You may know, but you still go ahead and do it sometimes, don't you? You're not afraid of what'll happen to you when you do something wrong, but you let the consequences of doing something good, what someone might think or say about you, you let that make you scared and stop you from doing something right. For instance, you might not be at all scared or frightened to get in some sort of fight, be it physical or maybe a verbal fight, even though you know that you are at least partially to blame and that you're going to hurt someone else and they're going to hurt you when you're fighting. But even though you're willing to do that, you won't stand up and suffer a little bit for doing what's right. You'd risk your family, your friendship, or your money or whatever over something that's silly and petty. You wouldn't think twice. But you're scared to confess your faith in Jesus and in the Scriptures because you're afraid of what someone will think. Peter says, think about it. It doesn't make sense. You aren't afraid of the consequences to do bad things, So if you're going to be that way, at least be consistent and don't be afraid of the consequences of doing good things. Through all of this, Peter wants to encourage us not to be afraid. Don't be scared to follow Christ or do what is right. Rather, we should fear and have a certain sense of respect and awe for the Lord, the one who gave us life and who gives us new life, who redeemed us from the pit. We don't have to be scared. Rather, we can testify to the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who overcame death itself. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue by collecting our offering to the Lord, and we'll also have an offering.